I'm very excited to be here with you this weekend. And I think the refrain of our last song, "Draw Me Close," in many ways sums up the heart of Mary. "You're all I want. You're all I've ever needed," is the heart of Mary in reference to God. The title of our weekend is "Mary, Paradise of God and the Temple of Holiness and Love." These are not titles that are unique to myself. Actually, the fathers of the church, very early on, looked at Mary as the paradise of God. That God created Mary as a place where the Trinity could rest in, repose in. And another word for saying that is God created Mary as a place where the Trinity could find a home within, on earth. They call her the paradise of God. And of course, Mary being a temple in herself, who housed Jesus himself, the very presence of God. This weekend we'll be speaking what we call incarnational spirituality, which is a spirituality that is very personal. It's Jesus living within us, which is truth. He does live within us through our baptism. But it's becoming sensitive and aware of that truth, which is the way we need to grow. And so I'd like to begin with just a few thoughts before we kind of go through an introductory talk this evening. You know, I was very encouraged when I saw sent to me online was a brochure of the retreat center here. And I saw that the street that we're on right now is called Union Road. Doesn't get any better than that, to be on Union Road, right? Because this weekend is about union. It's about becoming one with the one whom we love. So we're on the right place right now. We might consider this to be Ladies' Weekend Out. But I'd like to tell what I mean by Ladies' Weekend Out. It means each of you with Our Lady, right? This is a time to be with Mary and allow her to teach us how to have a Marian heart. Keep in mind that the Annunciation, the Incarnation, is the template of our faith. Jesus came into the world through a Marian heart, and that doesn't change. He still comes into the world most profoundly through a Marian heart, a heart that is open to receive, a heart that is surrendered, a heart that is available to God, a heart that is obedient and attentive to the voice of God. That's what I mean by Marian heart. So that's one of the terms. I'm going to use that term throughout the weekend, Marian heart. Another name for Marian heart, a spousal heart, a bridal heart, a garden heart. This is what you and I are called to have in our faith, is a heart that is a place where the Trinity can rest and repose and find a home. We all agree that there is a uniqueness to Mary. But Mary's life is the template for all of us. We're all called to have a Marian heart. At the Annunciation, Mary gave her yes to God personally, but also on behalf of all human beings. That means all human beings are called to give God our yes, because Jesus wants to continue to come into his world and move in spirit and power through our lives. It's important that we learn how to have a Marian heart. I assure you this weekend, as many of you will already know, there are many people praying for you, probably in your families, in your diocese, but I also want to encourage you that part of the His Global Love Network, we have intercessory prayer communities in New York, in Nebraska, in Michigan, in New Hampshire. We have people in Minnesota and Florida who this weekend are praying for you. Be assured, my friends, you are well covered in prayer this weekend. Being so covered in prayer by people who are pleading and begging for God to touch you, be open to expect God's surprises for you this weekend. I believe each of you has been encouraged to have with you this weekend a notebook and a pen. I would ask that you use that throughout the weekend. During each of these sessions, I invite you to pay attention to your thoughts, your desires, and your feelings. If you hear something that speaks to you in a particular way, just write it down. And what I'd like to do in approaching each of the sessions is to speak roughly for 15 minutes and then stop for about 2 to 3 minutes and let you go over anything that you've written down. What is it that you heard that either spoke to you in a positive way or in a way where I can never pray that way, I can never be like that? Review what you have been hearing in the level of thoughts and desires and feelings. These are things that you want to take with you in the weekend. But I want to assure you, more than anything that I say in any of these sessions, more than anything that's said during the homilies, the most important thing, and this has been my prayer for you before this weekend and on this weekend, the very most important thing is, what word does God want to speak into your Marian heart is the most important thing that takes place this weekend. And He can do it at any point during this weekend. He can do it while you're sleeping. God wants to surprise every person here by speaking into your Marian heart, because God's word is life. God's word has energy. God's word is purposeful and has intention. And He can speak that word at any point during the weekend, while you're in adoration, while you're at Mass, maybe during a session, while you're in your room and you're not even thinking much of anything and He speaks to your heart. That's the most important part of this weekend, is learning that God loves you to the point He wants to speak into your Marian heart. He's calling you to be His Mary. He wants to continue to draw close to you and through you to others in the world. Please allow yourself during this weekend to be open to your own personal Annunciation experience. Again, when I saw the beautiful chapel that's here on campus, as you know, those of you who've been here, on the back altar above it is the Annunciation scene. In many ways, the chapel draws us this weekend, right? Of God speaking through the angel Gabriel to Mary's heart, right? But that's true for each of us. God wants each of us to have an Annunciation experience this weekend. What might God be asking me to say yes to this weekend? Right? Allow Him the opportunity to speak and then give Him a response to what He's asking of you. As Jan said in the beginning, I've been blessed with like a call in a call as a priest. There's a ministry I'm involved in called His Global Love. His Global Love is a apostolate of contemplative communal intercessory prayer. And it's a particular type of prayer that is informed intercession. We ask God to teach us how to pray for any situation. It's about praying for our families. It's about praying for our priests, our bishops, our parishes, the church, our nation, in our world. And God wants to form today communal, contemplative, intercessory prayer circles. God wants these circles of prayer gathered around Mary, right? In order to be praying for our parishes, our diocese, our church, our government, our world, right? Be encouraged this weekend. God is greater than our hearts, and God is greater than our nation, right? God sees our world in ways that are beyond Fox News or CNN News. Believe it or not, God's vision is very different. With informed intercession, God shows us how He sees the situation and leads us how to pray and beg Him to do it. It's a blessed experience that I'm part of. Keep in mind that God is mystery, and we need silence and solitude in order to surrender to mystery. Mystery needs to be surrendered to, it needs to be accepted. And this is one reason why I need to be formed to have a Marian heart. Mary has a silent heart. Right? There could be a lot of noise going on outside, but it's the interior that is silent and always attentive to the voice of the one who calls. Some of you may know that in the Greek language, the word for mystery is the Greek word muane, M-U-A-N-E, which means literally to shut the mouth. I didn't create that. That's what it means in the Greek language. Mystery means to shut the mouth. My encouragement for you is this. I'm not going to say what I just said to you, right? We have roughly 40 hours together. Sunday morning's Eucharist will be here very quickly. Try to make this time a 40 hours devotion. Other than the time that we spend with other people in the meals, I really encourage you to go off into the desert. Be with Mary. Allow her to be with you and allow God the opportunity to speak into your heart. And I need silence for that. I need solitude. You know, very often the first evening of a retreat, we come here and there's been a lot of noise, there's been a lot of busyness, and it's hard to become quiet, right away. And that's understandable. But one of the reasons we're going to have the Eucharist tonight, on the first night of the retreat, is to receive Jesus in a very unique way. And we're going to follow that with adoration. Even if you fall asleep in the chapel, it is a beautiful thing to fall asleep in the arms of the one who loves you. I encourage you, don't be afraid to just let your body go tonight. Because you know, I know, once you get quiet and still, and you've been very busy, usually we go out cold, don't we? Right? Been there, done that. But look at it this way, it's not ever an insult to God. It is a beautiful experience of feeling so at peace in His presence that I can fall asleep in His arms. And if you keep that image before you, look at adoration during these 3 days in that way. I am in the arms of the one who loves me. Not only does He love me, I'm in the arms of the one who loves me more than I love myself. And that is a beautiful thing. So I just encourage you, as far as if you're here with friends, there will be time after Sunday Mass to reconnect. During these 40 hours, really go in and allow God to speak to your Marian heart. It's very important. Again, in the Greek language, the word for church is the word ecclesia. And the word ecclesia means to call out from. To call out from. Now, we can hear this very directly in the first letter of St. Peter, chapter 2, verse 9, when he talks about God is the one who called you out of darkness into His wonderful light, right? So those who are in the church are those who have been called out of darkness into God's wonderful light. It's not just light, it's wonderful light. But also keep in mind that as church, we gather this weekend, and we are called as a people out from the world and called into the new world that Jesus has brought forth when he came into the world through Mary. You have to keep in mind that the Annunciation has changed the history of the world forever. When God, who created the whole cosmos, chooses to enter into his own creation, that changes history, right? So we as a people are called into the new world of Jesus. He sees the world very differently than we do. And it's important for us to have his vision. We are people who are called out of death and called into life. God is life because God is love. We're people who are called out of sin and called into holiness. And Mary is such a wonderful guide to teach us how to be holy as she is, right? We have our beautiful picture behind us, do we not? That is on our brochure with the scripture underneath it. The child to be born will be called holy. That first and foremost speaks of Jesus. But also through Mary, the child to be born will be called holy. Everyone who comes forth from a Marian heart is called to be holy, and that is you and I. It is the teaching of the church that at the Annunciation, Mary conceived the very beginnings of the church within her. Keep in mind that it is Jesus, the head, and his body who make up the church, right? So you and I are called to be holy. That's why we need Mary. She and the Holy Spirit form us to be as Jesus in the world. We look at our picture that's up on the screen. If you look at the arms, the hands of Mary for a moment, Mary is fully embracing her mission in this picture. Her mission is Jesus. It's her life. She fully embraces her calling in life. And what she's embracing, she asks each of us to learn how to fully embrace. In her arms, in this picture, which is kind of a unique Marian picture, is it not? She holds both the identity and the mission of God in her arms. The child and the lamb, right? In John's gospel, the first chapter, it says, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world," right? Mary's fully in touch with both her identity and her mission. And she wants to teach us ours as well in our Catholic journey. When we look at this picture, we realize that Mary gave birth to a God who is capable of dying, right? When a child comes into the world and he is the Son of God, he is capable of dying. And that's why he came, is that he would have something to offer for our sins on the cross, right? Very important. When we look at the child sleeping in Mary's arms, we're brought back to that thought earlier that I spoke of. Mary's the paradise of God. God has found a place of rest in Mary. God feels very much at peace in the arms of Mary. So we see in this image both an image of Bethlehem and an image of Calvary, do we not? How many of us have ever seen the sculpted image of the Pietà, where Mary again holds the sleeping body of her child in her arms, in the sleep of death, right? God who now sleeps in his mother's arms is the same God who sleeps as child in Mary's arms. You see, the image really has a depth to it if we really meditate upon what it says. and what it's saying about us. God desires each of us to embrace our calling fully in our Christian walk. As I spoke a little bit earlier about the terms I'm going to use this weekend, so you're familiar with them, a Marian heart, a spousal heart, a bridal heart, a garden heart. Also going to use terms about Jesus. And these come from the tradition of our Catholic faith. Jesus is the bridegroom. And we find that this very image Jesus uses in Mark's Gospel, the third chapter, or rather the second chapter, when he says, "Can the guests at the wedding fast when the bridegroom is still with them?" And he's referring to himself, right? Or Jesus tells a story in Matthew, the 25th chapter, verses 1 to 13, about the 10 virgins who had lamps, and only 5 of them were wise. And they were to carry those lamps when the bridegroom comes. And at midnight, someone says, "Behold, the bridegroom is here. Go out to meet him." Jesus is telling the story. He's talking about himself as the bridegroom. Right? And John the Baptist, in John's Gospel, in the 3rd chapter, verse 29, he talks about the bridegroom gets the bride, and the best man is overjoyed to see that. And he's talking about Jesus as the bridegroom. We're going to talk about Jesus as bridegroom this weekend, because bridegroom gives all the understandings and nuances of marriage, right? Commitment, fidelity. It also speaks of the bride and the bridal heart that each of us is called to have in his presence. Jesus is the new Adam, right? Where the first Adam fell and was taken out of paradise, the new Adam comes into the world through the paradise of Mary's heart, right? Jesus is the new Adam. And Jesus also is the new humanity. What does it mean to be human? Look at Jesus. You and I, in a very deep sense, are always being formed and being converted more and more into the true humanity of Jesus. Yes, we are human beings, but we are human beings always in progress, in process, growing into the new humanity of Jesus. And if you've ever really delved into the Gospels, you see that the new humanity sees life very different than most of us. That's why we need to undergo a transformation from glory to glory to be more formed into the image of Jesus. Let's take just a moment, a few moments right here and stop. What is it that you're hearing? Any thoughts, any desires, any feelings? Just go back and review those for a moment, and then we'll continue from there.